You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And today we're going to talk about one of the things that's really important to recognize with homeopathy, and that's what homeopathy can't help with. Because while homeopathy is truly amazing, there are some things that homeopathy is just not going to be effective for. And we're introducing this to you because we actually have several guests coming up to talk to you about some of those things that homeopathy just can't help with, or things that we need to take into consideration that might be an obstacle to healing that homeopathy can in part partially help with, and then some ways partially not. And so we wanted to set the stage for you before we have all of these guests come on, so that you can really understand where homeopathy plays a role and where maybe something else needs to be added to the healing mixture. So homeopathy works with things that are dynamic disease, not things that are non-dynamic disease. And by this, we mean things that are changeable in nature and can be experienced differently from different people. So we're talking about things like, like pans, like things that are just experienced very differently. The things that are non-dynamic are a little bit easier to explain than the things that are dynamic. So the things that are non-dynamic would be something like a learned behavior, a frank nutrient deficiency, which we've talked about in a previous episode. For those who might not have checked that one out, we talk about nutrition, diet, and food in episode 20. So you might want to go back and check that out. Genetics are not something that can be changeable. They're non-dynamic. We talked about genetics and various SNPs, and which are single nucleotide polymorphisms, in episode 23. So you might want to go check that out if you don't know what we're talking about, or if you're concerned about those. There are aspects of this that homeopathy can help with, though. So not all nutrition is non-dynamic. Some is dynamic and some is non-dynamic. Not all aspects of genetic single nucleotide polymorphisms are dynamic versus non-dynamic. There's aspects of both. And that's really where it can get complicated, right? And so we really want to focus on the things that homeopathy can help with and use homeopathy, and then focus on understanding the places where we might need some additional support. And so a big place that homeopathy is not going to help is when we've got structural issues, right? So Jody, help me out. Give me some examples of some structural issues that we've talked about before.
Would Avery's tippy toe walking be a structural?
If there was just the tendons and ligaments, if they were just not, if they were shortened, then that potentially could be a structural component. I'm thinking along the lines of something like, if somebody has, like my daughter, had enlarged tonsils and adenoids from birth, and homeopathy was not changing it. For some people, those are things that can be changeable with homeopathy. Some people they're just bigger from birth, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody has subluxations, you know, if there's a structural issue with like their spine, they might need to have an adjustment to be able to get that moving right in the right direction, and then work on the dynamic part that led to it getting out of alignment in the first place, but getting it back into alignment, and then doing the work to help make sure that it doesn't come out of alignment again, or that we're not as susceptible to coming out of alignment. That's sort of the type of structural aspect that we're looking at. We could also be looking at things that are about functioning of the organs. So if we've got we've got type 1 diabetes, and we've got the non-functioning cells in the pancreas, homeopathy is not going to suddenly make them work again because there's been damage to those cells. Same thing if we have celiac disease, like if there's like damage to the brush border, the only thing we can't just make it so that gluten is going to be safe for people who have celiac disease with damage to the brush border. There might be some ways we can impact the intensity of the reaction when it happens, but it's never going to be like you could just eat gluten all day, every day if you have celiac disease. If you have thyroid disease, there's some aspects that can be improved, but it depends on how damaged the organ already is, and how much we need to support in addition to that. So For instance, I have a thyroid condition that there's been enough damage to my thyroid that I will always need to take thyroid medication. What might change is the amount that I need to take and any breakthrough symptoms that I have while I'm still using the thyroid medication. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that type of thing, homeopathy is not going to be helpful with. There are some ways that we, some learned behaviors that our homeopathy can't help with. We have to really like work on unlearning the behaviors. And we'll have some guests on to talk about ways to sort of figure out if something is behavioral versus not behavioral or inflammation driven. Again, as we talked about in the previous episode, if something is a nutrient deficiency, homeopathy is not going to make it so that the nutrient that you're just not getting enough of suddenly doesn't need to be given to you anymore, right? If it's a functional deficiency, homeopathy can help. If you're getting enough, but you're not using it appropriately, or your body's not absorbing it appropriately, homeopathy can help with. But if you're just not getting enough iron or vitamin C or vitamin D or whatever it happens to be, homeopathy is not going to make it so that you don't have to figure out how to get more of that into your body.
Yeah. I love that with some of those big things, I'm sorry, I'm going to go off track here for just a second, but I'm random thought. Like, I love even with the big things like the thyroid and the like diabetes, that even though homeopathy can't like big picture change that, doing homeopathy can help other things and help you live your best life even with those things and achieve better health even with those struggles. Anyways, just random thought. I was thinking that like, even though homeopathy can't help with those, it can still help like the person as a whole.
And then I think the last thing that really is important is just really understanding that, you know, we need certain things to be healthy. And that includes a good diet, or, you know, healthy diet, exercise, access to sunlight, clean air, clean water, and a clean living environment. We don't necessarily have to get to the place where we are hyper-focused on like the big C clean, you know, that a lot of people talk about with clean living, where everything is like as pure as it can possibly be. There is room, wiggle room, that we can be less reactive and less susceptible through use of homeopathy to cleaners that maybe have more chemicals in them, to foods that have more chemicals or dyes or things like that in them, that we can have them on a inconsistent, infrequent basis and not get reactive to them. Homeopathy is never going to make it so that living in a like chemical filled environment, a mold filled environment, a dye filled environment, it's not going to make it so that is that people can live in it and feel well. Like, that's just the reality. Everybody's going to have different susceptibilities to different ways that they react to it. You know, I have a tendency to get migraines, so I'm more likely to get a migraine for chemicals. My husband has a tendency to have skin stuff, so he's more likely to get skin issues. Some other people might get respiratory issues. Some other people might get gut issues. So our susceptibility still plays a role, but ultimately we need to have an environment that is as free of like big time toxicants and other issues that could be problematic for overall health.
I'm probably like the worst person to answer this question. I feel like homeopathy can literally help with everything. Like, even if somebody's like, I have lost my leg, can homeopathy help me regrow it? Well, no, it can't help you regrow your leg, but you should still do homeopathy because it's going to make you feel better. Like, regardless of, I feel like the answer is always yes, even when the answer is no.
So I will throw in there that homeopathy is not something that you're going to be able to use to like biohack. All right. So if you happen to be one of the few people who is completely healthy and has no concerns mentally, physically, anything, if you're like, just, nope, I am good, everything is working the way it should, I feel great, then homeopathy is not going to help you biohack and like up level and become like superhuman. That's not something homeopathy can do. Homeopathy will nudge you to get to your best version of yourself, but it's not going to change who you are. It's not going to change your personality. It's not going to like make you go from somebody who's a procrastinator to somebody who gets things done right away. It's not going to make you become an extrovert if you're an introvert. It's not going to make you go from being a person who's just wired to have a higher sensitivity to the world to being somebody who is not reactive to the world. It might relieve your suffering from some of those things, of the ways that you are, but it's not going to change who you are at your core. So that's one thing that homeopathy is not going to help with. It's not going to let you biohack your way into being like a superhuman.
Yeah.
But homeopathy can help with most things. Even like, you know, it may not help you regrow a leg, but it can help you mend a bone. Because even though there is not a lot of variation in how people experience that, it is still something that is changeable in the nature of the condition. You have the capacity to mend your bones and for the bones to come back together and heal. And so in those cases, absolutely homeopathy can be helpful.
Yeah. Seems like homeopathy can help with a whole lot more than it can't help with.
And that's true. Most of the things that we deal with in this day and age, most of the things that we deal with are dynamic disease, like the, especially complex chronic illness. Most of it is dynamic. And so there is a lot that homeopathy can help with. And even the things that are not dynamic, there are ways that homeopathy can help with. It will get us to a place where we reach our peak that we can possibly reach without addressing the things that are not dynamic, to continue to heal. So like it will address the ways that we are susceptible to the things in our environment. But as long as those things in our environment are still there, we are going to only get so far with our healing until we address the environmental components. All right, well, let's keep this one short, because really we just wanted to make sure we addressed that and set the stage for lots of conversations that we've got coming about various different things that can contribute to PANS and PANDAS, and things that parents might want to be on the lookout that could be obstacles to healing, and figure out where homeopathy plays a role, where you might need some additional supports. So we hope that you guys will join us for a lot of these really great conversations that we've got coming up with some really fabulous experts, like the one we had just had in our last episode. If you didn't check it out, you definitely should, with Dr. Taylor Bean. Lots and lots of great experts coming up to share after that.
Yeah, so definitely some good mom stuff. I really enjoyed doing them. So as I like tune in, moms, it's good. You'll like it. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And we're going to mix it in with a lot more stories as well of other people who are experiencing PANS, who have experienced PANS, who are on their recovery, have completely recovered. Lots of different stories to come and bring to you to just really round out and help you understand all of the ways that PANS and PANDAS can be experienced, all of the things that people have gone through to get to recovery, and things that might give you a little bit of insight into things that you could do to help your child if you believe that your child has PANS, if you know that your child has PANS, or if you are supporting people who have PANS. So if you happen to be like an educator, another doctor, whatever it is that your role is in interacting with the PANS and PANDAS community, we're hoping that the next several episodes are going to give you a lot of really great insight into all of the things that go into it. So check it out. All right. Well, take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.